Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, our evening service of worship. I welcome those of you who are visiting with us this evening, trusting you'll know God's blessing as we all offer up worship together. The services next Lord's Day are to be conducted at the usual times of 11:30 in the morning and then 6:30 in the evening. And these worship times preceded by times of prayer at the back of our church hall here. There is no midweek meeting this incoming week due to the fact that we're still in holiday time. And next Lord's Day, God willing, I'll be conducting both morning and evening worship services. So I'd just like to welcome to the podium Mr. Matthew McGee. Matthew's no stranger to us, of course, a son of this congregation who has preached here before. And I'm very grateful to you, Matthew, for standing in for me this evening. And we look forward to what God has to say to us through your ministry to us this evening. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for that welcome. It's always nice to be home. It's a bit of a different perspective up here, but it's good to get the break, and it's hopefully you can get a break as well, Stephen, as well. And next Lord's Day, I'll be back down in Belfast, God willing, but it's been good to be here, and I'll continue to remember the work here in Fochan in prayer. And I do also just want to thank those who have been praying for me down in Shaftesbury. But I pray that we can all know blessing as we come to worship God this evening, and what a privilege it is. And we'll be opening just with prayer, if you don't mind standing as I open our service in prayer. Dear Father in Heaven, we do thank you for the privilege of coming to worship you again this evening for a second time, O Lord, and we do give thanks for the message that Derek Lynch brought to us this morning, and pray that it would be a blessing to all of us as we seek to apply it in the remainder of this year and into the new year as well. And I pray that we would be thankful people, O Lord, even with the difficulties of 2020. There's much that we can be thankful for, so we do pray and give thanks to you for your many blessings to us that we do not deserve, O Lord. We give thanks for the blessing of health and of life, for you are our creator, O Lord. And we give thanks with the knowledge that you are still sovereign over all things, O Lord. And you're sovereign over this pandemic. And we do pray and trust that you'll still be working out your plans and purposes throughout all this, O Lord, even if those plans and purposes aren't known to us directly, O Lord. If nothing else, we pray that we would be people of trust and of faith in you, and we pray that this pandemic would just remind us that we aren't in control, and remind us that we ought to be completely dependent upon you, O Lord. So I pray, if nothing else, it would make us a people of prayer and a people of dependence upon you. And we do pray for those who maybe can't meet, as we do tonight. We pray for our brothers and sisters just across the border in Republic of Ireland who have been left in an ambiguous state, O Lord, unaddressed by their nation's officials, O Lord. So we do give thanks that our nation has made provision for churches to remain open. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters across the border in whatever circumstances they meet today. And we pray for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith, O Lord. I pray that you would be a refuge and a stronghold for them, keeping them safe, O Lord, and even for their, for those who would prosecute them, O Lord, those who persecute them, pray that you could change their hearts, O Lord, turn them from hearts that are hostile to you to hearts that love you, O Lord. And we do pray that a gospel proclamation would still be going out here locally in our own land and also international, Lord, that people from all tribes, nations and tongue would hear your word and respond to your word with faith. So we do pray for that, and pray that you would be praised on this your day, O Lord. Even though many may neglect that this is called the Lord's Day, I pray that your worship and your praises could still go up and be acceptable to you. So we do pray for our own praise, pray that we'd praise you in spirit and in truth, and it would be pleasing and acceptable to you. And as we come into this worship service, do pray that you would remove from our minds any distractions, anything that would hinder us from receiving blessing from your word. And also pray for forgiveness of sins, Lord, forgiveness for sins committed in this week past and even since the last time we met this morning, Lord. And we do give thanks that we can ask for forgiveness. We give thanks that forgiveness has been made possible through your Son, the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And we give thanks that you heal all our diseases, you heal our iniquities, and you're the one who heals our apostasy and loves us freely, and that your anger isn't on us, Lord, because Christ bore the anger that our sins deserve. So we do give thanks for this rich blessing of redemption, O Lord, won for us by Christ. And we do give thanks for that, and we do pray for forgiveness. Forgive us for our sins of thought, word, and deed. Forgive us for sins of omission, but also sins of commission. And we pray that each individual that is here in this hall tonight will know blessing through your word, O Lord. I pray that you would meet us at our own spiritual point of need, which you know so much better than we even know. And pray for those who are maybe burdened down by things that we don't know, those who are carrying secret troubles, O Lord. I pray that you could relieve them of their burdens and their anxieties. Pray for those who can't be with us, whether it be because of health or lockdown or whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that you could still be present with them on this your day. So we do pray and ask all these things in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll now come to our first praise selection. And we will not be singing this one, but it'll be from the CD, and we can meditate on what we read in our psalm books. And it'll be Psalm 93a, and it'll be stanzas 1 to 5, and that begins on page 219, that's 219 in our Psalter. And this psalm begins with, "The Lord is King, he's robed with majesty, most bright. The Lord has been armed with strength, he clothes himself with might." This is an appropriate psalm to open our service with, because it sets before us the truth of God, the truth of his attribute and of his nature, and he is the one worthy of praise. For stanza 1, which I read, reads of the Lord as King. He is the ruler, and he's the ruler with authority. He's the ruler of majesty, and he's the ruler of might. This is Christ, the King of Kings. And stanza 2 continues showing this King to be the Creator. He is also eternal. He is the eternal creator. He is infinitely more powerful and more fearful than even the most imposing acts of nature. And that is what we see in stanzas 3 and 4 across the page. And then finally in stanzas 5 we see talk of how all of God's testimonies are certain and sure, and how holiness has been with him for eternity. He is the eternal God and he is the holy God. He is right, he is without fault, error, or sin. And what a comparison that is with us. We know fault, we know error and sin, but all his testimonies are most certain and sure, and holiness adorns his house. And that is true forevermore. So as we listen to the CD, let's meditate on these words, knowing that it's right that we praise him, is fitting that we direct our praise and adoration to him. So this is Psalm 93a, stanzas 1 to 5. Now we'll come to the reading of God's word, and as we heard in that last stanza there, his testimonies are certain and sure, and we'll come and read some of those testimonies now, and we'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 8, and if you're reading from the Church Bible, it begins on page 565, 565, and is Proverbs 8, and we'll be reading the whole chapter. Hear then the word of God. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and a perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honour are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, my revenue than choice silver. I transverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited word, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So that's the word of God. And before we come to consider this passage, I ask you again, if you're able, to please stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we do pray that you be preparing us to hear this message from your word, O Lord, and we would know true blessing from it, O Lord. And as we come to consider wisdom, we pray that we would know wisdom which is from above. I pray that we wouldn't be wise in our own eyes, but we would fear you, O Lord, and we would be quick to depart from evil. So we do pray for blessing from your word, O Lord, and I pray that we wouldn't just know what your word says, but I pray that we'd also be appliers of your word, to be hearers and doers of your word, O Lord. And we give thanks that we are part of a global church, Lord, that there are many believers throughout the world, Lord, so let us not have a small perspective and be confined to what we can see immediately before us tonight, Lord, but we do give thanks that we can pray for those that we don't see, Lord, and that you see and you know their situation, Lord, and we do give thanks that we have missionaries in the likes of France and Spain. And we do pray for our missionaries there, Lord. We pray for Andrew Little and his family and our ministry there in France, Lord. I pray whatever their circumstances are in regards to meeting and lockdown, Lord, I pray that you could still be blessing the proclamation of your gospel there in France, Lord, and establishing that work, Lord, and bringing fruit from that work, especially as they work amongst asylum seekers and refugees. It's going to be a difficult work, Lord. I pray that you'd help them to be wise in how best to reach out to that community. And we also pray for the more recent work in Spain, O Lord. I pray that you'd uphold Isaac Barakal and his family there in Spain, O Lord. Give thanks that they have successfully moved, O Lord. And I pray that there be a good working relationship there with the Baptist pastor. And I pray that that relationship, O Lord, would be pleasing and glorifying to you, and that you would establish that work as it's in its infancy, that you would lay down roots, O Lord, and fruit could abound and salvation could be declared in that region of Spain, O Lord. And we do pray for our own leaders here in our own country, O Lord. I pray that they would be wise, O Lord, and pray that they'd be wise in their decision makings, that they would be able to cater all the needs and concerns of the nation as they balance the health of the nation and also concerns for the economy of the nation, Lord. But I pray that they would be truly wise in that they realize that they are sinners in need of a Savior. So we do pray for the individual salvation and conversion of our own leaders, and that they would then rule in accordance with your word and accordance with your wisdom. And we do pray for those who will be affected by this upcoming lockdown that we are entering, those who are maybe fearful for employment or job loss, or for those who are unemployed looking for work at this time. I pray that you could be making provision for such people, Lord, and that solutions could be found, Lord, and that the economy wouldn't be crippled. And we do pray again and help us exercise faith, trusting that your purposes will be worked out at this time, O Lord. And we do pray that we would see and know conversions closer to home, that we would see people join with us and be saved. And we think of even those who maybe passed through this congregation, those who maybe grown up in this congregation or are nowhere spiritually. We pray that things that they maybe heard in their youth from their parents or through Friday Night Club or from the pulpit, Lord, whatever it may be, may call it to their minds at these difficult times whenever so many people have questions of life and future and death in their minds, O Lord. I pray that this time of lockdown pandemic could be prompting questions that would lead people to find answers to these questions in you and find salvation in you. So we do pray for that locally, and we do pray for our son of this congregation, Stephen Steele, as he'll be preaching tonight in Cookstown. I pray that Cookstown will know blessing through his preaching and ministry there, and pray you'll uphold him as well as his regular work there in Scotland. So we do give thanks again that we can commit these things into your hands in your son. Amen. So, I'd encourage you to keep Proverbs 8 open for you, so that's our passage for this evening. And now, a long time ago, back in the very first lockdown, maybe in April time, I remember coming across an article on my computer about the increasing difficulty it is to find silence in our world. And if you know how these things work, you read one article, then there's suggested articles, and you end up going down a rabbit hole. And I just followed this rabbit hole, and it turns out that many people are more and more concerned about the increasing noise levels of the world, or the difficulty it is to find peace and quiet. And this era of human history has been termed the loudest era of human history. And another article considers silence to be a virtue in our modern world, which is being lost and missed out on. And noise pollution has been identified as the World Health, by the World Health Organization, as an underestimated hazard. which can cause legitimate health risks. People have begun, in response to this, to pay for silent retreats, silent massages, silent haircuts, and silent therapy. Silence is a commodity in this world that some people consider worth paying for. People do not want to be disturbed. Yet, not all noise is bad. Think of a well-sung song or a well-played instrument. Think of birdsong, nature sound, falling water, or even children playing. Not all noise is bad, and some can be pleasant. But what of a woman's cry? What of a woman crying out? And that's what we have at the beginning of Proverbs 8. It's an unwelcome noise if we were to hear it. It's a noise that would disturb us and usually would indicate danger, loss, or hurt. And that is what we have in our passage. We have Lady Wisdom crying out to us, raising her voice and calling out. She cries out, cries aloud, and calls to all mankind. A woman crying out is hardly a pleasant noise, and as I said, it would usually indicate something dangerous or risky, hurt or loss, or something tragic. Yet this woman in Proverbs 8 isn't crying out because she has suffered loss. She's not in danger. She's crying out to us to warn us. As a parent would cry out to a child in danger, so she cries out to us. She cries us onto herself. Disturbing though it may be, it is for us and for our best interests. We are the ones in danger. And she is crying out to us from the high hill and in the gates and at the entryways. High and low, she is following us. High and low, she is calling out to humanity. Wisdom is at great pains to get our attention and for us to hear and follow and take notice of what she has to say to us. Surely we should take notice then of what wisdom is saying to us. And the obvious question from that is, are we paying attention to wisdom? Wisdom is warning us of the foolishness of neglecting wisdom and of asserting in our own lives our own wisdom. The danger is that we miss out on the real wisdom which is presented to us in this passage. And if we are listening, are we heeding that warning? We cannot assume that just because people have heard of a danger that they'll take that danger seriously. And there's obvious implications for our current pandemic situation. Just because people are aware of a danger doesn't mean they'll take that danger seriously. So are we alert? Do we know of this danger that's before us in this passage? And will we respond accordingly? They are the questions and the challenges that come out from this passage. Yet before we go any further, we should ask, who is this Lady Wisdom? We ought to ask, what is the identity of this speaker in this passage? So that is point number one, the identity of wisdom. The identity of our speaker. Our first point is the identity of wisdom. So far I've referred to wisdom as a woman, or called her Lady Wisdom, as she's presented in this passage. But it's a personification of wisdom. And personification just means to depict something in human form, even if it's not human. And an example would be the flowers danced in the wind. Flowers don't dance, humans dance. But it's personification. And here we have wisdom personified in human form. We have wisdom presented as a woman. And we read that she is calling out to mankind. Yet, if we consider the claims that are made by wisdom in this passage, we can, in a sense, unmask the real identity of wisdom. And spoiler, the real answer is that Christ is wisdom. This is an Old Testament reference. It's an Old Testament allusion to Christ, one of the members of the triune Godhead. He is the one that is represented. He is the real speaker, and he is the true wisdom. For the identity of wisdom, then, we'll look at some of the claims made by wisdom in this passage, and such claims give us clues to the true identity of the speaker. And the first clue comes in verses 15 to 16, where wisdom says, "By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth." It is by and through wisdom that rulers in our world rule. Those authority figures get their authority from our speaker, from wisdom. Even if they don't realize it, even if they don't acknowledge it, it is by wisdom's permission. Any skills of leadership, any gifts of administration or decision making any earthly leaders possess are but a faint representation of a greater ruler and a greater authority, which is wisdom, a more wise one than them. Wisdom is the authority of authorities. Wisdom rules the rulers. More simply put, the ruler of rulers or the king of kings. It is Christ by whom leaders of the world rule. And as in Revelation 1:5, Christ is described as a ruler over the kings of the earth. By Christ's permission, rulers have their position and their authority. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that is the first clue about the true identity of wisdom in this passage. And the other clues mainly come in verses 22 to 31. In these verses, we see that wisdom was established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. The speaker here then is eternal and predates the world, predates creation. The speaker was there before creation, the eternal speaker. But not only was wisdom eternal, but wisdom was a witness and an agent of creation. In verse 27 it says, "When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep." And so it goes in the following verses. Our speaker, wisdom, was present at creation. But not only that, but in verse 30 it says, "Wisdom was a master craftsman at the side of the Creator." So wisdom claiming to be eternal, claiming to be there before creation, to have witnessed creation, and also to be a craftsman during creation, be an agent of creation, but active in creation, contributing to the creation of our world. Such claims can only be applied to Christ. And all this aligns with what we have in Colossians 1:16-17, which says of Christ, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." So we have identified that wisdom is the Lord of Lords, as well as the Eternal One and the Almighty Creator. We have seen more and more that all these clues point to our speaker, wisdom, as being Jesus Christ. And one final clue that we'll consider is the words of verse 23, which says, "I have been established from everlasting." And this word, established, I don't have the knowledge of the guests to look at in original language, but in the ESV it's translated as set up, and in the NIV it's translated as appointed. So in verse 23, established or appointed for what is the question, but established for a purpose, and that purpose was the salvation of mankind. Wisdom, Christ, was the appointed Saviour. Established to set up, or set up to be the Redeemer of man, to be our Saviour. That is why wisdom calls. That is why wisdom is calling out in our passage. Jesus is the one calling. He is being the appointed one to save. He delights in humanity, as verse 31 says. And more amazing, he delights in saving humanity. So that is what he has been established for, and that's what he's appointed for in verse 23. On earth, whenever Christ did come to earth incarnate, many years after this passage was written, he was a friend of sinners, and he endured the cross for the sake and the joy that was set before him. And that joy was the salvation of mankind, that joy of obeying his Father's will. And that was what he was established and appointed to do. Long before the creation of the world, he knew that he would be appointed to be a Saviour, our Saviour, the Saviour of men, women and children. So piecing together all these clues, we see that our speaker, wisdom, is the Lord of Lords, the Eternal One and the Almighty Creator, and the one established for the task of salvation, appointed for it. And we'll consider this establishment and this appointment later on as we go on. But surely we should see then Christ in this passage. Christ is wisdom. He was that word that was with God from all eternity. And if you have any doubt, listen to what Jesus says of himself in John 14:6. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except me." He is truth, he is wisdom, and he is the only appointed and established way to the Father. So we have Christ then, as I said, the eternal King of Kings, Creator of the universe and Creator of life, and the appointed Redeemer, calling out to us, raising his voice to us in the heights and in the places of meeting and in travel. Surely we should take notice of this one who would bother to address himself to us, because we have nothing in us that should make him address us. There's nothing lovely or attractive in us that he should take notice of us, but he does. And he goes to great pains to get our attention, so we should listen. And If you don't identify wisdom with Christ, then what do you identify wisdom with? Because people will have their favorite news outlets, their favorite news sources, their favorite political commentators, whatever it may be. They have trusted opinions and experts that they listen to. If you don't identify wisdom with Christ, then you're identifying it somewhere else, with some other external organization, some way of thinking, some political allegiance, whatever it may be. You're identifying wisdom with something else, or even within yourself and your own common sense, but you're not identifying it with Christ. And that would be foolishness, to miss true wisdom that is calling out to us in this passage. But so we've talked about then the identity of wisdom, and I've shown it to be Jesus Christ. But before we get into the content of that address, we'll go to our second point, which is those that wisdom addresses. We've talked about this call of wisdom. Wisdom is calling out, but is this call for us? Is it addressed to us? So we'll consider secondly those that wisdom addresses. Wisdom calls, Christ calls, but who does Christ call to? And the answer is in verse 4. It says, "To you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." To man, to mankind, to all of humanity, wisdom calls out. Christ calls out to all humanity, to you, to us, to me. Wisdom calls out to man, all-encompassing, to all mankind, to all of humanity. This address of wisdom, this call of Christ, is to all of us, men and women, young and old. Not to a certain type of person, not to a certain class, not just to moderate sinners, but also to serious sinners, not just to the socially acceptable, but also to those that we wouldn't readily associate ourselves with. Wisdom calls all mankind, and this is emphasized even to us in the places where wisdom calls out. This call goes out from the high hill, but also where the paths meet, in the high and lofty, difficult to reach places, but also in the common places of travel where people are commuting, people are doing their business. And in verse 3, we see wisdom to be at the gates, at the entryway of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Wisdom is calling out to all of us in our places of travel, in our places of residence, in our places of work, and where we do our dealings. The call of wisdom, this addressed to us by Christ, is not far off, it's not irrelevant, it's not high, cold, or irrelevant to us, but it meets us in all areas of life. It is the most common and ordinary. It meets us in those common and ordinary areas, and quite frankly, this is the most relevant address that we could receive. And so wisdom meets us in those most common places. This call of Christ is meant to meet us and address us in our lives, to have application in our lives. We are the ones being addressed by wisdom, and we are the ones being addressed by Christ. We are the ones being addressed by the King of Kings, the Eternal and Almighty Creator. And this is wonderful condescension by Christ to address himself to us. And what audience do we deserve of Christ? Why does he address us? Surely we should be moved to ask that question, Sammy. What is man that you're mindful of him? But give thanks that Christ is mindful of us. He is mindful of the danger that we are in. He sees our sinful condition better than we can see it, and he makes us aware of that danger. He calls out to us. His address isn't one of judgment or rebuke in this passage, but it's an invite. And it's an invite to receive wisdom and all the blessings that come with receiving wisdom, all the blessings that come with receiving Christ, who is the wisdom. He is the appointed Redeemer, and this call is part of his work as our Redeemer, part of his work as our Savior. So will you listen to him and hear this offer that he brings before us? Hear this offer from the Savior of souls. Because some are good at talking but not listening. We come across people like that, I'm sure. They like to talk, but whenever it comes to listening, they struggle. They itch, they want to get their bit in, or they're just disinterested. But we should be listeners then to this call from wisdom. So we've considered the identity of our speaker, we've considered the identity of wisdom, we've considered those whom wisdom addresses, and thirdly and finally, we'll consider the offer of wisdom, the content of that call wisdom gives. So we'll consider thirdly then the offer of wisdom. And wisdom offers wisdom. Wisdom offers itself to us and for us. It offers the simple and the prudent and the foolish to gain prudence and to gain understanding. Wisdom offers itself. Christ offers himself. For it is Christ that speaks what is true, just, and right. What is attributed to wisdom in this can be attributed to Christ. He is the one that speaks excellent things. He is the truth speaker who can say that all his ways and all his words are righteousness. He can say that he is the one who has traversed the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, in verse 20. And we see that in the gospel accounts of his lives. All these attributes are given to wisdom can be applied to Christ. He is the one who has no crooked or perverse ways or words in himself. And we can't say that about ourselves, but it's true of Christ. And we are invited to find Christ, and we're invited to know him. And we aren't invited to know wisdom in some abstract way. It's not wisdom and just merely intelligence, but we're invited to find and receive Christ and listen to the invite of verse 35. For whomever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. The offer of wisdom isn't just mere intelligence, nor is it just an increase in what we know for this world, but it's life. Taking up this invite is to receive life. Finding wisdom, finding Christ, is to find life and life eternal. And not only that, but favor from the Lord. It's life plus extra. It's life and favor from the Lord. We receive the eternal word of God, Christ, and all the associated blessings of having a place in heaven secured for us for eternity by him. And as I said, Christ was established or set up in eternity past to save sinners. Christ knew those whom he would die for on the cross long before their creation, long before they lived. And as 1 Peter 1:20 says, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. He was chosen before creation. He is appointed before creation to be our Savior for our sake. For our sake, he endured the cross. For our sake, he took the punishment and the shame that was due to us for our sins and for our disobedience and our rebellion. For our sake, he tasted death and passed through death. In finding him and taking up this invite, we can find life. We can have our sin dealt with, and the due sentence of death that would be over us can be commuted, can be annulled, and we are no longer facing the penalty of death. That is why Jesus cries out to us. That is why wisdom cries out to us, O men, to all mankind, to find and receive the life that he offers, the life that he has won for us on our behalf. He stood in our place, so will you take up that offer that Christ extends to us? He offered his life in our place in this passage. We see himself and offering life. All that is necessary for eternal life has been accomplished already by Christ. If we only receive him, believe in him, and listen. And as Jesus says, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. It would be unwise to reject this work. They may think, some people might scorn religion and think it's foolishness to follow some dusty words from an old book that has no relevance for this life, for the 21st century. But it would be foolishness to reject this. It would be foolishness to reject wisdom. It would be foolishness to reject Christ. Because if we aren't relying on his work in our place, then we're relying on our own work, which isn't good enough. It doesn't match up to God's standard. So that is the offer that we have before us in this passage. How ought we to respond? With haste. In a hurry, we should go to take up this offer of wisdom. We should take up this offer of eternal life in Christ. And as that verse which I referenced from 1 Peter 1:20, now is the revealed time, now is the time to receive salvation. Christ was the appointed Savior before creation, but now he has done his work, now he has been revealed. He died on the cross for sinners and rose again on the third day. Sin and death have been defeated. It's a matter of time before he comes again to fully realize and consummate that victory. Now is the time to respond, and now is the revealed time for salvation. So we should respond with haste. And wisdom calls out loud, high and low. Christ calls out high and low. He calls all mankind, addresses all of humanity. You cannot say that you have not heard this message. You cannot say that you were unaware of this danger. You will have no excuses if you reject it. For this is a call to all mankind. If you're hoping and if you're wanting to find Christ, but you're worried that you'll miss him, or you'll fail in your efforts to find him, or you'll fail in your search on how, be encouraged by verse 17, which says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Those searching for Christ, those who realize their own sin, those who realize that he is the only Savior, that he has done all that is necessary for our salvation, if they seek him with sorrow over their sin, if they truly wish to repent and forsake their sin, then they will find him and receive his saving love and receive eternal life and favor from the Lord. For our search for Christ doesn't depend on our abilities, and it's not an uncertain search, but it's in response to what has already been done. Our search for Christ is a response to the work that he has already accomplished. He loved us and he calls to us long before we loved him. Our search is a response to his saving work, a response to his certain victory. Those who seek him will find him, and those that find him will receive life. Now is their time to receive him. Now is the time to receive wisdom. And those who refuse to heed wisdom's call, those who reject this call of Christ, are left in no uncertain terms. If you reject or ignore this call, then you're left without a doubt of your condition. Because consider the last verse of this chapter, verse 36. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Those who fail to find Christ harm themselves. And failure to find him is not because Christ has made himself difficult to find. He is crying out to all of us in the high places and the low places. And he has guaranteed that all who seek him truly will find him. Failure to find him then is a failure to try. And failure to find him is a failure to want to find him. The offer of wisdom is not a take it or leave it optional extra for life that would be a bonus but not essential. But it's an essential for life. It's an essential for eternal life. Because without him, there is no life. Without this offer of wisdom, there can be no eternal life. And it is, as I said, foolish to reject this offer. And those who reject this call of Christ do harm to themselves, as verse 36 says. In this life, they do harm to themselves, but also in the next. It's soul suicide. Those ignoring wisdom's call are insisting on their own ways, insisting on their own ideas, insisting on their own independence as they rebel against God's rule. They may insist that they aren't worthy of judgment. They aren't sinners. They haven't transgressed against a holy, all-seeing, sovereign God. Or they may insist that they just know better, that the words of the Bible aren't true, that they can't be true because of X, Y, and Z, and they'll offer different excuses, but they're insisting on their own way, their own wisdom, which they've defined by their own terms, but that is no wisdom at all. Insisting on your own ideas, insisting on your own independence, is rebellion against God, and it's the same sin of Eden. Those ignoring wisdom's call are acting in accordance with their own ways, holding on to the ways of sin, and such ways will lead to death. You might say that just because someone isn't a believer in Christ, that doesn't mean they love death, as verse 36 says. But sinners refuse to come to Christ because they love their sins more than they love him. They love their sins more than that offer of eternal life. Sin is the wages of death, and they cling to their sin and they are earning death. They are working towards eternal death through their sin. They are earning death for themselves whilst ignoring and rejecting their only hope of escaping this sentence of death. Those that have Christ, those who are believers, don't have him because they weren't bad sinners or because they deserved it, but it's because they've realized that they have no salvation and no wisdom of their own and have depended on him for life. But those who fail to embrace Christ are harming themselves and are lovers of death. And they will be without excuse because Christ calls all mankind, loudly calls to all mankind. And locally here, many in our own land, which could be considered largely Christian until recently, will have sat under gospel teaching or heard this message in some place or in some format, but have rejected it. They will be without excuse because they have silenced that call of Christ You cannot silence Christ and ignore the consequences. Instead of accepting Christ, they chose their own ways, their own wisdom, and that wisdom is no wisdom at all, but it's foolishness. And it's not harmless foolishness, but it's deadly foolishness if they do not surrender unto Christ, who is the true wisdom, who has opened the only way of salvation known to man. As 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So the question is, do you have the Son? And if you are a believer tonight, if you are the one who has taken up this offer of Christ, this offer of wisdom, then be encouraged. Christ loves those who find him and love him, and that is what verse 17 says. So be warmed in your love towards your eternal King and Creator who redeemed you, who even though he delighted in his Father's presence in eternity past, he still came to earth in human form for the joy of saving sinners at the cost of his own life. He delights in humanity and delights in their salvation. If you have Christ, you have life. But keep enjoying Christ. Keep receiving Christ afresh daily. Feed on him, follow him, and imitate him. What he has to say, his instruction to you, is worth them more than the world can offer, wiser than all of the world's wisdom, which is no wisdom at all. Though it may seem foolish to the world, it is no foolish thing to receive Christ and to gain life and favour from the Lord. Hold on to him who has saved you. And as verses 33 to 34 says, hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. Be seeking his face, be seeking his wisdom, day and daily, and his words of wisdom. His words of truth will have a sanctifying effect upon us. And potentially it may be a New Year's resolution, but why wait till New Year's? Why not start tonight, tomorrow? If you've got into a rut with your daily reading or your quiet time, or just has had known times of ineffectual quiet times, but why not make it a New Year's resolution to re-familiarise yourself with Christ and his words of wisdom? Maybe even to take up that challenge of reading the Bible in a year. But we should be knowers of the words and appliers of the word. And application is a key thing. It's not just knowing what this book says, but it's applying, which is often the more difficult part of the equation. His ways are perfect and his words are perfect if we listen to them and apply them and tend to them diligently and often, and they should be our delight, and it will be a means of grace to us by which the Spirit will make us more and more like our glorious Saviour. It will have a preserving and encouraging effect upon us, preparing us for glory and showing us how we ought to glorify God and enjoy him more increasingly day by day. Though the world may scorn the Bible, though the world may deny and try to silence Christ, to listen and to obey him is no foolish thing, but is to receive wisdom. To listen to Christ is to listen to wisdom. He addresses us and he offers himself to us in this passage. He offers life and the Lord's favour. Do not neglect such a great salvation, for what other way is open to us for eternal life? Who else is the established saviour of man? The world values silence increasingly, but we should value the voice of the Lord more. We should have his words and wisdom in our hearts and minds often, and if we do feed on them and let them guide us day and daily, instruct us, then we will hear his warm assurances and welcome in that final day. Amen. So we'll come to our second praise selection, which we can sing, and it is from the CD, and that is Psalm 25, and we'll be singing stanzas 3 to 7. And if you look at, and this begins on page 44 of our Psalter, and if you look at these stanzas 3 to 7, you'll see many similarities with what we have considered, many similarities with wisdom and our desire for it. We see many expressions that resonate with the truth of Proverbs 8 in Psalm 25. Stanza 3 opens with, show me your ways, O Lord, your paths, so teach to me, and leave me also in your truth. Let it, my teacher, be. We should seek the ways of the Lord that have been offered to us, for they are the ways of truth. His ways are the ways of truth and wisdom, and the words of God and Christ ought to be our teacher, Dan Daly. Not only are they the ways of truth, but they're also the way of salvation. As stanza 4 says, "For you are the God who sends salvation unto me." We ought to cling to these words of truth, for they are the way for our salvation. We should desire them above all else, and waiting with great expectancy. They are to be our encouragement and sustenance for all believers. And knowing these ways to be true, knowing these ways to be the ways of life and life eternal, we can pray and we can sing with hope that appeal for forgiveness in stanza 6. "My sins and faults of youth, O Lord, will you forget?" Maybe we can think back with regret over things we've done, things we've said, or sins we've committed in our life, times when we haven't acted according to God's wisdom, when we've gone our own way and done foolishly. But we can pray, "My sins and faults of youth, O Lord, will you forget?" And what a blessing it is to be able to utter that prayer and also to have that prayer answered. Christ sees, and we see him calling to us from poverty. He invited us to receive salvation that he has won for our behalf, and that is a sure and certain salvation. He is the one who shows the way of life to sinners, and in this we should rejoice and sing these praises. So we'll be singing Psalm 25, stanzas 3-7. Please stand as we close in prayer. Father in heaven, we give thanks that you did appoint and establish your Son to be our Saviour. And we give thanks that that was made in eternity past, O Lord, long before creation. You knew your plan of salvation. You knew how to work out and how Christ fulfilled that plan. He fulfilled your will for him, O Lord, and obeyed everything you set before him. And we give thanks that even from his earliest days, he knew that he would face the cross, O Lord. He knew that he would face punishment and that he would face the wrath of God for sins that he did not commit, O Lord. But we give thanks that he endured the cross for that joy that was set before him. The King of Kings, the eternal Creator, punished on a cross for the sake of sinners. So Lord, I pray that this great truth, O Lord, these great truths would not be something we're overly familiar with, and that we're blunted against the amazingness of these truths, O Lord. And help us not to be slow to take up that offer of life and of salvation. And I pray that if we have taken it up, O Lord, that we wouldn't go astray from it. And we do confess that there are times when we neglect your word, even if we know it, even if we know the requirements of it, Lord, we go our own way. The old man, the old woman crops up, O Lord, and sins can entangle us again. So we pray that you would forgive us for those, O Lord, and help us to keep short accounts with you, and help us to be often submitting our minds to your word, O Lord, and be curbing in us any desire to assert our own independence, to assert our own wisdom, O Lord. And I pray that we would constantly be submitting ourselves to your word, and I pray that it would be a means of grace used by the Spirit to make us more and more like Christ, who is our glorious Savior. And I pray that that would encourage us to run that race with perseverance and endurance. And for those of us who have this great promise of the Lord, we are burdened for those that we can see in our own lives, loved ones, friends, and those in our communities who don't have this great life, who don't have this salvation, O Lord. So we do pray for those that will be on our hearts and minds, that we would long to see take up this salvation. And we do pray that you would be working out your salvation in these lands, that all those appointed for salvation will believe that this call of Christ, this call to receive wisdom, will still be going out today, for it is the revealed time. And I pray that people will still respond to that call as they should, confessing their sin and expressing dependence on Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we do just pray that your kingdom will be growing and expanding here and also across the face of the earth, Lord. So we do pray that you'd be with us now as we go our separate ways this night, and be with us this week, O Lord. And I pray that your word and your wisdom will be our guide and our pathway to our feet this week, and equip us for whatever we face, O Lord, and whatever we may go through. And I pray that as we remember this morning's message, we'll be thankful people. And we do give thanks for seeing us through another year, O Lord, and into a new year, God willing. And what a blessing it is for that as well. So we do pray and ask all these things in your Son. Amen.